Hi, this is Gray Fowler, product specialist for Voyager Technologies. This tape is an audio tutorial for Sequencer Plus and is designed as an overview to provide just enough information to get you up to speed quickly and easily. Once you get a feel for SP's intuitive design, you should be able to quickly grasp all of the powerful features in the program. In this tutorial, we'll cover the process of recording, editing, and adding tracks to a song so you can start creating your own music right away. To keep things simple, we'll avoid features that go beyond the basics. However, if a subject still seems unclear to you, or you simply want to know more about a topic, just stop the tape and refer to the reference manual. Before we begin, you should read the introduction section in the reference manual and follow the instructions for installing the program. If you need help wiring up your system, look at the section called Setting Up the PC MIDI System. For this tutorial, you'll need at least one MIDI keyboard. Set it up to receive and send on MIDI channel 1. This is usually the default setting on most MIDI instruments. I'll be using a Korg M1 synthesizer for this tape, so the sounds you hear may not correspond to the model you're using. This won't matter since the procedures we'll use are the same for any instruments. Assuming that SP is booted and your system is wired correctly, let's test your system by playing a song file. With SP's main screen in front of you, press F to enter the file screen. You should see a couple song files. Highlight the file Maple Rag, press L for load, followed by Enter. After the song loads, the main screen should return. To start the sequencer from any screen in the program, press the space bar. Your system should be making some music. If your system isn't working properly, refer to the troubleshooting section in the reference manual to help you find the problem. Now to stop the sequencer, press the space bar. While we have a song loaded up on the screen, let me quickly discuss the design of the program. Sequencer Plus is like a multi-track tape deck, which allows you to record multiple tracks, one at a time, to create an orchestrated composition. Only instead of recording sound, SP records MIDI data, which is played back through our MIDI instruments. This allows us to edit the music as MIDI data, even after it's been recorded. Each row on the screen represents a track. Notice that the song we've loaded has two recorded tracks. Among other features, each track has a port, channel, and program column. The program column lets us select different sounds for the track by sending a program change message to the MIDI instrument. If we press the space bar to start the sequence, toggle onto the program change column on track 1 and change the value with the plus key, we can change the instrument sounds. Also notice that each time you change the program number of track 1, track 2 goes to the same number. This is because both tracks are set to the same port and channel. MIDI uses ports and channels as a means of separating and routing the MIDI data of a track. A good way to think of a port is to imagine it as a MIDI cable, and in each MIDI cable you can have up to 16 channels. A multi-port interface such as Voyager's V22 or V24 will give you 32 or 64 MIDI channel capability. Ports are also a means of addressing the FM sounds on a sound blaster or ad lib card. If you want a track to play the sounds on an FM card, set the track to port 2. If you don't have an FM sound card or a multi-port interface, you should leave the port set to port 1. With the channel function, we can assign each track to its own channel number, thus allowing each track to be assigned its own sound. So if I set track 1 of Maple Rag to a different channel, I can assign it to a different sound. See if you can hear and identify the different sounds assigned to each track. By the way, when working with MIDI, it's important to always make sure your port and channels are set up properly. Setting up the channel or port incorrectly can cause confusing problems. Sometimes it seems like everything is set up correctly, but you can't hear anything. Usually, the problem is that the sequencer is not talking on the same channel the keyboard is listening on, or vice versa. So remember, you need to make sure the track is set to the same MIDI channel that the MIDI keyboard sends and receives on. Before we go on, take a moment to review the section on basic concepts in the reference manual to get an idea of how the screens are organized in Sequencer Plus. Once you're comfortable with how the screens flow in the sequencer, you only need to remember three basic rules to run the program. First, to access different screens or execute commands, press the first letter of the screen or command name, as listed in the menu area. For example, to mute a track, press M, or to enter the edit screen, press E. Secondly, remember that you can enter numeric data or toggle a command on or off with the plus and minus keys, or you can enter numeric values directly with the number keys. Lastly, remember the escape key gets you out of a screen or window, or aborts a command. By the way, if you're using a mouse, you can access the mouse menu in any screen or window by clicking both mouse buttons simultaneously. For more information on using a mouse, see the section called Using a Mouse in the reference manual. The best way to learn something is to do it, so we'll spend the remainder of this program creating a multi-track song from scratch. While I'm doing this, I'll describe exactly what's going on so you can easily follow along on your own system. Remember, stop the tape whenever you want to experiment with something. When you're ready to get back to the tutorial, just continue the program where you left off. Let's begin by creating a simple jazz progression to illustrate basic sequencing techniques. First, we need to clean the slate. Since we still have Maple Rag loaded, from the main screen we can erase it by typing D for delete and A for all tracks. This erases all of the track information. While recording, it's necessary to have a time reference, such as a metronome, and a one-bar lead-in to count off the song. Press Function Key 3 to activate the Options window. Use the arrow keys to move the cursor so it highlights the lead-in command, and set it to 1 using the plus key. Now move the cursor up to highlight the metronome function. Use the plus key again to toggle it to on. Press R to activate the record mode, followed by the spacebar. You should hear the metronome count off through the PC speaker. Now press Escape to close the options window and return to the main screen. While the metronome is running, we can select a proper tempo to record with. Hit T for tempo. The menu area will prompt us to enter in a value. Let's use the bracket keys this time to change the tempo values by 10 to 160 beats per minute. We can change this any time we like, but for now this will be fine. After selecting the value, press Enter to confirm the change, then press the spacebar to stop. Okay, let's make some music. First, I need to set up my MIDI channels. My MIDI keyboard is set to channel 2, so on my first track, I'll highlight the channel column and enter the value 2 by hitting the number 2 and pressing Enter. Now we're ready to record. Let's begin with a simple 2-bar walking bass line. Don't worry about playing the exact notes I'm playing. However, you should try to play something similar, because we'll be using the recorded material later to illustrate some other points. Press R to put Sequencer Plus in record mode. Now when we press the spacebar, the metronome will start, and the bar beat counter at the top of the screen will begin counting down our 1-bar lead-in. After 4 beats, begin playing. If you make any mistakes, just go back and do it again. That's what PC sequencing is all about. Just remember, if you record a second time, you'll be recording over your old material, just like erasing a track on a tape deck. Okay, there's the beginning of our bass line. Let's hear the track play back by hitting the space bar. By the way, if you're using the Sound Blaster MIDI box with an external MIDI keyboard, remember to press Alt-X to hear your track. Alt-X will toggle MIDI in to MIDI out. Also, don't forget to toggle it back when you go to record again. This is all covered in the reference manual. My bass line was intentionally recorded sloppily, so I can show you how to clean up poor rhythmic parts with the track quantize feature. Quantizing pulls notes that are off the beat and puts them onto the beat where you want them. To do this, let's move the cursor onto the quantize column of our bass track. Since the rhythm of our bass line is straight quarter notes, we need to select the value 4. This will pull any sloppy quarter notes right onto the beat. If we had played eighth notes, we would have selected 8, and so on. Let's listen to that now that it's quantized. But first, toggle onto the loop column and turn loop on, again with the plus key. Now when I press the space bar, our cleaned up bass line will loop around and repeat itself continuously. Stop the song with the space bar and turn loop back off for now by pressing L. Also, we don't need the lead-in or the metronome now, so go back into the options window, F3, and turn these functions off. This sounds okay, but let's go into the view screen to fix it up a bit. Remember, the view screen lets us edit our song on the measure level. Press V to enter the view screen. You should see two square boxes in track 1. Those are the two measures of our bass line. We can copy these and insert them on the end of the two bars so the phrase is 4 bars long. Place the cursor on the first recorded bar of the track and press C for copy. Extend the highlight with the right arrow key to include both bars and press Enter. The prompt will ask you what buffer to store it in and offers temp as a default. A buffer is a temporary memory location for storing bars of music. Hit Enter for now to confirm. Now that we've made a copy and stored it, we can insert the copy at the end of our 2-bar bass line. Place the cursor on bar 3 of the bass track and press I, then Enter for insert, and enter again to use the temp buffer where our copy is stored. Lastly, the prompt will ask you how many times you want to insert the copy. Press Enter once again to accept the default value of 1. Now we've turned a 2-measure bass line into a 4-measure bass line. By the way, you should know that when you hit the space bar to play in the view screen, the track begins playing from the bar the cursor is on. In the main screen, the song always plays from the beginning. So if you want to hear a song from a particular measure, do it from the view screen. Cursor onto the last bar of our bass track, bar 4, and hit the space bar to play. Since this is just an exact copy of bar 2, let's modify it. While we're still on bar 4, press E to bring up the edit screen. The edit screen displays the notes in this bar. Notice that pitches are labeled vertically on the left-hand side of the screen. The horizontal axis shows time. Since we're working in 4/4 time, the screen is divided into 4 sections. If we had set the meter to 8/8 time, you'd see 8 sections. The recorded notes are represented by the horizontal bars on the screen. We can change the pitch of a couple of these notes by first highlighting the note we want to change, then hitting P for pitch. This now lets us move the note up or down with the plus and minus keys. By the way, you can also cursor forward from note to note by pressing the tab key. If you want to go back, press shift tab. I'll just highlight and change a couple notes here. I'm going to move the cursor onto the first note, press P for pitch, and press my plus key to raise the pitch. Then with the tab key, I'll cursor to the third note, and once again, using the plus key, I'll raise the pitch. And once again, on the fourth note. Let's listen to this bar. Let's hit escape a couple times to get us back to the main screen. Loop the track again and play the track from the beginning. While the track is playing, we can use the program change feature to select a good bass sound. Highlight the program column labeled PRG and use the plus key to change the program value. You should hear the sounds changing. Keep searching until you find a good bass sound. Okay, now that we have our bass line, let's record a piano part on track 2. By the way, some keyboards, like the Korg M1 that I'm using, have the ability to receive on multiple MIDI channels at one time. Thus, they can play many sounds at one time. This is called multi-timbral capability. If your MIDI keyboard has this capability, you should check your instrument's manual to find out how to set it up for this function. Once it's set up, then you can move the cursor down to track 2 and set it to a different MIDI channel. I'll use channel 3. Then I'm going to highlight the program column and set it to program number 2, which I just happen to know is a piano sound on my instrument. If your MIDI keyboard does not have this multi-sound capability, no problem. For now, you can set all the tracks to the same channel number and use a piano sound for the remainder of this tutorial. Okay, let's record another track. With the cursor on track 2, press R, then the space bar, and record a piano part. I'll try to play the first 4 bars correctly and make some mistakes in the last 4 bars so we can do some editing later. Well, those are some pretty bad mistakes, all right. Let's go to the view screen and chop those bad bars off the track. In the view screen, I'm going to highlight the 5th bar of track 2 and hit the delete key 4 times. Each time I press the delete key, I erase a bar. Now we have just the 4 good bars remaining. Just for the record, the backspace key will also delete bars, and the insert key will insert empty bars into the track. Loop tracks 1 and 2 by highlighting each track and pressing L. Notice that many commands are available from both the view screen as well as the main screen. Let's listen to just the new piano track. We can do this by highlighting the new track and pressing S for solo. This mutes any other recorded tracks, leaving the solo track to be heard alone. Press S again to terminate the solo command. We can also mute a track by highlighting it and pressing M. Then press M again to get out of mute. Now let's move down to track 3 and try recording a melody part. However, this time we'll do it from the view screen. First, let's escape to the main screen and set our channel and program number again. I'm setting track 3 to channel 4 and selecting a sound in the program column. I think I'll use number 97, which is the vibe sound on my M1. Pressing V gets us back into the view screen, and Control R puts the sequencer into record mode. When I press the space bar to start recording, I'm going to let the first 4 bars go by before I start playing. Let's give this a try. Okay, this left us with a track containing 4 empty bars, followed by a 4-bar melody. It sounds okay, but there is one bar that I'd like to fix up a bit, by adding a few extra notes. This can be done in either the Edit or Note Edit screen. I'm going to highlight the bar I want to modify, and press E to get into the Edit screen, followed by N, which brings us to the Note Edit screen. The Note Edit screen is much like Edit, however, it has MIDI information for the selected note at the top of the work area. This allows you to edit at a much finer level because the selected note's pitch, volume, and position information is provided at the top of the screen. For example, you can adjust the volume of a note by changing the velocity value, or adjust where a note starts in a measure right down to the finest adjustment called clicks. Another function which is performed in both Edit and Note Edit screens is inserting and deleting notes. These commands are performed with the insert and delete keys. In this bar, I'm going to insert a few notes. This is done by simply moving the cursor to where you want the note to be and hitting the insert key. If you don't like what you did, just remove it with the delete key. Let's insert a note here. here, here, and here. And here's the result. One last screen I'd like to mention is the MIDI edit screen. Press Escape to get back to Edit, then M to see the MIDI edit screen. This screen looks similar to the Note Edit screen, except the top of the screen shows MIDI event information that's not related to the notes. Notice that at the bottom of the screen, just above the MIDI menu, is a line labeled ML for MIDI line. This is where MIDI events are displayed. You can also insert and delete MIDI information such as program changes, MIDI bender, modulation, volume, aftertouch, and other MIDI controller information. Move the cursor anywhere on the MIDI line and press Insert. This will insert a MIDI event with the current value shown in the MIDI event box. And, of course, you can change the type and value of the MIDI events to be inserted. From here, we can go back to the main screen and continue adding tracks, inserting notes, and doing whatever you need to do to create your musical masterpiece. What we've covered in this short time should give you a pretty good grasp of the process of creating a song with Sequencer Plus. There are dozens of powerful features which we didn't even touch on, so I urge you to experiment and make use of the Sequencer's reference manual. To learn about advanced features in Sequencer Plus Gold and Classic, turn the tape over and listen to Side B.